T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Right now, though, I want to welcome in our guest. He is Jonathan Butcher. He's a senior policy analyst at the Center for Education Policy there at the Heritage Foundation, and thrilled to get him on here this morning. Jonathan, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Good to get you on here. I see that you are a Furman University graduate. How about that?
That's right. Go Paladins.
I used to work in Greenville, South Carolina. I know Furman very well. That is fantastic.
It's a great place. Nice little town.
So Jonathan, you've spent the majority of your career taking a look at issues of education and the impact, and you've been pretty vocal and outspoken about what we're doing to kids by keeping them away from the classroom during this pandemic.
Well, I think that this has always been something that local communities need to decide for themselves. And I think that educators, local health professionals, parents in particular, need to be talking to each other about what is best for their community, what the rates of infection are, and what it means for them. Because what we've seen from, you know, the national groups, from teachers unions even to the administration, there simply becomes a big argument over, you know, what they think may be best nationally, right, spread around the country. And the answers aren't there, right? It has to be more specific to what a local community needs.
Yeah, well, in terms of the difference, though, between virtual learning plans, I mean, I looked at some of the ones that they're putting out here locally on how the day is going to go, particularly in my school district, because they're starting this year on all virtual at this point, as are many of the school districts in the sound of my voice, particularly in St. Louis County, but even some outside of St. Louis County that are starting virtually. What is that difference in your opinion? Because we didn't do a good job at this at the end of last school year when this happened suddenly.
Well, you're absolutely right. And that's because many of the districts that moved quickly to some sort of online instruction, they didn't look to the existing virtual schools that already enroll hundreds of thousands of students for best practices. I think they quickly moved to what they felt would be some sort of ad hoc setup for students. And by, I think, ignoring the way that existing virtual schools have already been doing this, I think they stumbled into a lot of the same problems. And look, as a result, some of them just gave up after a couple of weeks. There was a Wall Street Journal profile a couple of weeks ago about Jackson, Mississippi, and how they tried and then essentially just gave up. There are districts in Pennsylvania as well that essentially said, we're not going to grade students, making the rest of this last semester effectively meaningless.
Yeah. I know it happened here. I know kids knew that nothing they did virtually was going to affect their grade, and therefore they responded as people will in that situation when they know there are no consequences. We've seen that in other situations around the country recently. And as a result of that, there has to be a void now in that educational process. Is continuity the word I'm looking for? There's already a loss over the summer months to begin with, but now we've had, in many cases, 5 months without kids being in the classroom.
Well, continuity, stability are both big things for families. And it is almost measurable, right? There's an organization that produces a test that's widely used around the country to diagnose student learning, and they are estimating that students are going to go back to school this fall with having lost anywhere from a third to half of what they normally would bring back to the classroom in the fall because this most recent semester was interrupted. So, you know, there's certainly some, there's going to be some makeup work that'll have to be done. And I hope that, you know, districts are ready for that task. But as you said, with many of these larger districts, Los Angeles, Atlanta, Nashville, planning to at least open the academic year online, perhaps in the same way that they closed the last one, I think parents should be very skeptical.
Yeah, it's a great point. Jonathan Butcher is my guest this morning. He's a senior policy analyst at the Heritage Foundation at their Center for Education Policy. And what a fitting conversation to have right now as we are into the 12th day of August. You know, a lot of the schools normally would have been opening either this week or next. And I think some of them have delayed that by a week or two since it's virtual. But, you know, Jonathan, I'll say this. You had a great article there on the Heritage website from just about a week ago talking about private schools and the back-to-school calculation. I know we're seeing that in St. Louis County. The parochial schools, the Catholic schools, the Christian schools are seeing a bump up in students switching over because most of them, not all of them, but most of them in St. Louis County plan to be back in class 5 days a week.
It's such a fascinating change in this pandemic just over the past few weeks. I think many were afraid that independent schools, Catholic schools, religious schools, private schools of all types were going to struggle, and perhaps many of them would be closing for good because of the oncoming financial downturn. Well, what we've seen now with parents largely dissatisfied in many areas of the country with this delivery that district schools provided over the past couple of months, now they're looking for private schools. And so we had media reports from Ohio, media reports out of even out of Philadelphia, but really from around the country where now some private schools are reporting waiting lists. So that's a big shift. And it shows, right, that parents aren't going to wait, right? They're not going to wait for a district to figure out what to do.
Well, you know, they're not going to wait, but it also speaks to what I've been in support of for many years and what we're still not a whole lot closer to having, and that is school vouchers, where your money is portable and your tax money isn't necessarily tied to one district. We've lost, as taxpayers, we've lost the power to leverage our local school boards. I mean, even though they're elected, they know that no matter what decision they make, the parents don't have the option of taking their money and going somewhere else. It has eliminated competition, and therefore you're seeing this influx to the private schools where money talks.
Well, and there's some interesting leadership to be watching right now out of New Hampshire, Oklahoma, and South Carolina, where the governors in those states have used some of this federal relief money that was passed way back in March and set aside just for their use towards K-12 schools. The governors have created private school scholarship programs. Now, these are modest, they're relatively small, but nevertheless, when put in a position to make a decision about what is best for their states right now, the governors of New Hampshire, South Carolina, Oklahoma have created private school scholarship programs. So this is something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I don't see why not. I'm particularly given the fact that we're in uncharted waters right now. You know, a lot of things have been forgiven. For example, during all of this, you can take extra time off if you need to because of the pandemic. You were able to delay your taxes because of the pandemic. A lot of things we normally wouldn't have looked the other way on, we've been willing to do. I don't see why you couldn't have something that maybe it's a tax credit situation or whatever. If somebody declares a hardship, let's say they have a child with a learning disability or something who can't function on a Zoom call, and they could make accommodations for them using some of this money. I'm sure it'll end up in court.
Well, and it has already in South Carolina. There's been a challenge already to Governor McMaster's plan. I think perhaps even more interesting than these scholarships that the these governors have created is the news now, just in the past few days, that school districts are getting in on this pandemic pod idea. Now, these learning pods were where parents were getting together with in their local neighborhoods with kids who live nearby and creating small learning communities and hiring a teacher to come help them through their paces over the next couple of months while they wait for districts to open. Well, now there's news that districts are seeing parents do that, leaving their assigned schools. And so now districts are thinking of creating these small learning communities. Now, this is something that could really change the way that education is delivered, you know, perhaps forever.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And it is certainly, I hope people would make some moves like that. Maybe our Governor Parson here in Missouri would consider that as well. Listen, Jonathan Butcher, great conversation, my friend. Thanks for giving us some time this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Get more at 971talk.com.